Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, happy Feast of Christ the King and happy New Year. As Father said, we begin a new liturgical year next Sunday, so happy New Year. A little girl was nervous about her medical checkup, so the doctor tried to do his best to put her at ease. He looked in one ear and said, "Oh, I see Big Bird in there." Then he looked in her mouth and said, "And I believe I see Kermit the Frog in there." Then the doctor put a stethoscope on the child's chest and said, "I think I can hear Barney in your heart." "Oh, no, doctor," the child replied quickly. "I have Jesus in my heart. Barney's on my underwear." Today we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King. We celebrate the triumph of God's kingdom over the forces of evil at the end of time. With Thanksgiving only a few days away, there are many things I have to be thankful for. And one of them was Google. Because thanks to Google, I was able to quickly and easily find a little history about this feast day. The Solemnity of Christ the King is a relatively new feast in the Church's calendar. Pope Pius XI instituted it in 1925 at the request of bishops and faithful from around the world. The Pope was worried about the way governments and societies were trying to eliminate any thought of God from art, science, ethics, and morality. This feast was instituted as an antidote against trends aimed at the complete eradication from every human endeavor of anything which had to do with God. The Pope was speaking to a world that had just undergone a major world war that had brought down the old order of Western world, crumbling. Monarchies, governments had been brought to ruin, and a new evil world ideologies had crept in, like Marxism, communism, and socialism. They had stated goals, the elimination of religion and the elevation of the state authority to positions formerly conceded to divine law. To this, the Pope said, and I quote, "These manifold evils in the world were due to the fact that the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives, with the claim that these had no place either in private affairs or in politics." End quote. I think today we still have an ongoing struggle against secularism. Thousands of times a year we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Now we all heard the saying, "Be careful what you ask for." Well, today on the Solemnity of Christ the King, it's important for us to ponder what type of kingdom we're praying will come so that we may enter, dwell, and rejoice in it. To pray that kingdom come is to beg for the grace to enter with Jesus into his kingdom. It means to seek to be with Jesus, not in a generic sense, but to be with him in giving witness to the truth, to be with Jesus in giving our lives in service to others. Ancient Christians had a saying, "Regnabit a lingo Deus," God reigns from the cross. To say that kingdom come, to seek to enter his kingdom, is to reign with him by living with him in a cruciform life, a life of true sacrifice for oneself out of love of God and love of others. When Jesus inaugurated his kingdom, it had nothing to do with the expectations of the people at that time. We live in a time that, just like 2,000 years ago, has many false ideas about Jesus, many erroneous expectations about the kingdom he came to establish, the way he reigns, and the way he calls us to reign with him. We too are tempted to reject the truth of the kingdom, the service of the kingdom, and the suffering of the kingdom. This feast reminds us that we are not only accountable to him as individuals, but also as nations and as a society. It's not only personal actions for which we are accountable, it's the social policy, cultural mores, and organizational structures on every level of society for which we also answer to Christ the King. Sin is always personal, but there are structures of sin that embody the wrong choices individuals have made. So let me ask you a question. In your mind, what is the image of a king? What does a king look like to you? Well, in today's readings, we have a number of different images of what a king is. In David, we have a somewhat conflicting image of the conquering military hero and a caring shepherd. In the second reading, Paul recites a very early Christian hymn that reveals the power of the kingdom of God, the kingship of Christ. In this passage, we have an image that stretches our imagination to take in all of creation. And our gospel today gives us a picture of Jesus dying this humiliating, excruciating, painful death on a cross. All things in heaven and earth are reconciled to God through the blood of Christ's cross. Hardly an image of a king or triumph to most people. Now, as a deacon, I'm called to follow the example of Paul when it comes to preaching the truth. We can't live by truth and support the killing of innocent unborn children in adoption, or support the so-called death with dignity of the elderly by assisted suicide, or the pseudo-matrimony of those of the same sex. We can't live by truth and treat the poor, the immigrant, the stranger, the hungry, the thirsty, the imprisoned or sick, in any way other than the way we would treat Christ himself. We can't live by truth and reject the truth at the same time. In his most famous homily of all, Christ the King said that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are poor in spirit. And yet so many, even those of us who call ourselves followers, set our hearts on spiritual, not on spiritual poverty, but on riches, houses, material things, cars. Christ the King says his kingdom is one of meekness, and that the children of the kingdom are those who make peace. Yet so many, including those who call themselves disciples, spend far more time cheering on wars than they do working for peace. Christ the King says that his kingdom is a kingdom of mercy, and that only the merciful will find the mercy necessary to enter his kingdom. And yet so many, including those who pray every day, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, still hold grudges and seek to settle the score even to the grave. So who or what is your most valuable possession? Who or what do you treasure most in your life? Your home, job, your health, your family, retirement. Another question, who or what possesses you? Who or what rules your life? Are you truly free? The things of this world, money, fame, property, prestige, tend to possess us and take our freedom away. Just ask anyone who's addicted to substances or anyone who's lived under a dictatorship. But Jesus, our King, is different. Our King wants to completely possess our every thought, word, and deed. And in return, he promises true freedom, not slavery, because he is the one who wants not only to possess us, but to become one with us, so much so that we become his image. He became one with us so that we could become one with him. Jesus is King of the universe, of all creation, and this includes you and me. He wants us for himself. He wants to possess all of us. He knows our every thought, our every decision. He guards us in all our ways. Jesus, our King, is not a distant king, an unapproachable king, no. So I ask you, will you let him be your king? Will you let yourself be possessed by him? May Christ, King of the universe, rule our lives forever. And may God bless you and all those you love.